Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the NBA coming back, obviously without the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to talk about the end of the book and some of our lasting takeaways from the return of the King Book Club. Thanks again to everyone who did that with us. We'll touch a little bit on some of the other things going on as well, but we're basically know now for a fact what is going to happen with the Cavs. They're not going to come back. It seems like the draft lottery is going to take place August 25th per ESPN, and then the NBA draft on October 15th. So keep those dates in mind. Those are going to be our big kind of target dates here moving forward here and at Fear the Sword. But that's all coming up on today's show, your daily-ish Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We'll be right back with Evan and I.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Kyrie Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cube.
On the blow block. He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
Okay, Evan, the NBA, as we expected, announced, well, first off, how are you? I want to make sure, how are you doing then on this evening?
Not too bad. Kind of actually bummed to think that the Cavs will not be playing meaningful basketball till November, spoilers
well,
to those who
maybe
don't
know yet.
Are
they
going to
be playing meaningful basketball in November?
Hey, Chris, I will drink the Kool-Aid, and Justin Rowan will probably have me convinced this Cavs team is a playoff team for hot minute.
Justin will have you believing the Cavs are like going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. He's going to be like 2019 summer, 2018 summer Kobe Altman.
I thought you were going to say Summer League. I'm like, Chris, Summer League's not a thing anymore because the Cavs didn't get invited. But no, it kind of, you know, it just, it is what it is. You and I both saw this coming. You and I both have been hearing things for a little while that there's a lot of back and forth, and thank God Cleveland wasn't the team who voted no, and it ended up being Portland who wanted to be the spoil sport for everybody else and just wanted to be weird about it. So, you know what? I'm glad the Cavs season's over. It's been a weird year. And I was thinking about this while we were setting up. What a weird season to cap off your 50th season in your franchise's existence for the Cavs. Because I have that email open from Cavs PR right now that it has the letterhead at the top that says Cavs 50. I'm like, this could be one of the last ones because technically the 50th season's over now.
Yeah, it is very weird. And obviously this whole process is very weird. You know, I don't think anyone would have expected the last game they played would have been the last game. I know you and I are, from every player that we kind of have a contact with or camp or with them directly, like no one that we've kind of interacted with is like happy about this per se. You know, yeah. I don't know what the motivation level for like Andre Drummond or Kevin Love like would have been like had they had to go to Orlando and play 3 games or 8 games or whatever. But like, it's over. You know, Tristan Thompson not likely to play his last game with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Could be the same for Dele. You know,
yeah.
Like this is just a weird thing. Yeah, this is like a weird thing more than anything. And now the Cavs are really going to be waiting. I mean, if you look at the outline of what ESPN is outlining here, as I mentioned at the top, the NBA draft lottery is August 25th. The draft is the October 15th. The season would begin on December 1st, and free agency would begin until mid-October. So, like, we have a long period of time, and if you're the Cavs, this just extends, like, everything in a really weird way. And I think, like, for us, like, maybe next week we can talk about what we think of the format and all that stuff. It's interesting. Obviously, I don't think the Cavs had a lot to gain with a no vote, although I get why the Blazers did it. And we also know that Clay Bennett, the owner of the Thunder, was like advocating for every team to come back to kind of help some teams get some money. I would love to know kind of more on the Cavs' thought process on that. This would be like a really good time, honestly, for like if Dan was ever going to do a return press conference, like now would be like, I think, a very interesting time to do it. Don't think that's going to happen. But no. I think this is just, you know, for the Cavs, like this is the inevitable. I get why you're gutted, but like you're also not good. You know, like, I don't feel like we're in a pandemic, and if you're not a good team and aren't really in a real contention for the playoffs, like, I can understand the league leaving you at home. That sucks, but it's true.
Yeah, it does suck, but it is true, like you said, and it's still weird to think that the Cavs were not mathematically eliminated with this second worst record in the NBA. That just goes to show how bad the bottom of the Eastern Conference is. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's disappointing that the Cavs, obviously their season's coming to a close, but at the same time, like, this isn't a very good team, and there's obviously a lot of factors in play here that could stunt the development of these younger players. I mean, except Colin Sexton, because he'll be as strong as Atlas. He can lift the Cavs and carry them to the playoffs next year. That's just my thought process on his bulking season. But it's just gonna be a little bit of a dry spell. And we don't even know if December 1st is a firm thing. I've heard from people in the league saying, like, listen, their primary focus right now is just to wrap up this season in Orlando at Disney World and then kind of figure out the next steps from there. Maybe things kind of get sped up or expedited, or certain dates are subject to change just based on how the season wraps up. But I guess the silver lining is for sports fans out there, and I'm okay with it, again, as long as they're safe. We're going to have continuous basketball content from July and until about July to possibly July of next year. So that I guess that's kind of neat, but it's just a bummer the team that we cover on a day-to-day basis will not really be available until November at the earliest, at least. And even then, we don't even know if media is going to be allowed to be at actual media day. It might be like Zoom conferences that you and I aren't invited to again.
Yeah, I don't look forward to that. I'm already angry about it.
Listen, Spencer Davies is going to be my insider. I'm just going to start texting him questions. Be like, Spin, ask this.
Yeah, but I'll text him, like, angry questions. Sorry for that clank. Evan, we're at the point in this where, like, I'm drinking a beer as we're recording.
Chris, so. I have a secret. I've been drinking beers when we record for a while.
Oh, I'm aware. The couple times you have your Zoom camera on, like, I'm aware. I'm just, like, I'm slowly just becoming, like, I'm drinking a Great Lakes Mexican Lager with lime. Pretty good.
Is it good?
Yeah, I like it. Good. It's a good summer beer.
Great Lakes, if you're listening, be our local sponsor.
I would extremely accept Great Lakes as our title sponsor and a local sponsor.
Same. I would accept Great Lakes. I would accept Platform. There's good beer in Cleveland, folks.
There's a lot of good beer in Cleveland.
A lot of good beer.
Justin Rohn can attest to that. The other note here, I just want to say, and again, we'll talk about more of this next week, but the G League season is also canceled. And here, Sharif Abdul-Rahim, the G League president, said this in a statement. While canceling the remainder of our season weighs heavily on us, we recognize it's the most appropriate action to take for our league. I extend my sincere gratitude to NBA G League players and to our coaches for giving all their all to teams and fans this season. To our fans, I thank you and look forward to resuming play for the 2021 season. It's going to announce all of its awards coming up. They haven't played since March 12th. Their season was very close to the end, March 28th, I believe, for the regular season. If maybe, I don't know exactly. I have to double check that, but Evan, I would just say, like, I think most NBA players are, like, going to be fine money-wise, especially the ones that are making a lot of money. I think it'll be really interesting to see just how the labor of the G League is kind of treated during all this, because, you know, guys like Dean Wade and stuff have probably made a little more money this year. Not a ton more, but, like, guys on an average G League contract are really not making a ton of money, and I would wonder, they certainly lost some game checks here.
No, they absolutely did, and I wish I could bug him, but I know he's recording the Eurostep right now. But Ty Windisch is friend of the pod and covers the Wisconsin Herd in out of Oshkosh, and he's like one of their better reporters. He's also really well versed with the CBA in terms of the G League stuff, and usually he's my go-to when I ask for this. So I actually am interested how they're impacted financially, and that's obviously not a question I want to, you know, lob at a player, like, how's your financial house? Is it in order and everything? But, no, maybe that's something I'll pick Ty's brain about while we're recording, and then we'll touch more on it next week. But, yeah, no, that's definitely something to think about. And, like, I think about Dean Wade, I think about Matt Mooney, even Alphonso McKinney, who has a guaranteed contract with the Cavs, but it's pennies on the dollar compared to what some of his teammates, especially Andre Drummond and Kevin Love, are making. So,
and there's a lot of non-guarantees in it.
Yeah. No, it's not exactly, like, bulletproof. So I'm sure, you know, that's a stressful time for him as well, because even though these guys are multimillionaires, I have learned that a lot of NBA players do live paycheck to paycheck just because of the lifestyle they maintain because of the money they make.
Yeah, and you know, and also just like the I learned this from reading about MMA fighters, and I have a friend who does some MMA stuff, and like learning about athletes, like you spend a lot of money. Like yeah. a lot of money on maintaining and trying to be a high level athlete. Like it is not inexpensive.
How much does LeBron spend on his body?
More than we know, I think. like probably like an insane amount of money.
I mean, I remember that one vitamin water commercial that he used to do where he talks about like wrapping his body in cheese or whatever. I think it's about 10 or 15 million according to my Googling. So that's per year. So I mean, he treats his body like a temple, and these athletes have access to the best chefs and the best trainers in the world. So yeah, it all adds up fast, because when people, especially during a pandemic, they need money to survive, they're going to make sure they're getting paid, and then eventually your checks are going to run dry, and I don't know. It's just like, yeah, you have to think about those guys who are at the bottom end of the tail end of the roster for Cleveland who aren't making as much financially that are being affected by this, and just a tough, weird time overall, and we're transitioning full-time to off-season content like we already have been.
LaMelo Ball, baby, let's go!
I mean, it could be LaMelo Ball. It could be Killian Hayes, if you ask a friend of the pod, Trevor Magnotti. It could be Obi Toppin, too, because I think you messaged me about him, and I think I just said, "Let's Obi Toppin, come on down." Like, there's no guarantees of this draft. It's such a weird draft class, and I feel like it reeks of Anthony Bennett vibes, and with the Cavs having that kind of power in their hands, they could easily pull the trigger on a guy that nobody sees coming.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Evan, you know what would help make you smarter, though? I think you know this. What would help make us smarter, kind of understanding everything that's going on right now?
Well, let me tell you about one of the ultimate life hacks. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get to the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library, from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles to the bestsellers list, as well as the classic nonfiction titles that you've always meant to read, but never had the time to. I use Blinkist when I'm driving in the car, even especially when I'm on the road, and then even when I'm making breakfast or working out. Like, it's so easy to use this app just to enrich yourself and make yourself into a more well-rounded person. And with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
We'd also like to let you know that there are some really tasty protein bars out there, and those are Built Bars. Built Bars are the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They come in 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate and nut flavors, 8 chocolate/nut-free flavors. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and Built Bars are also healthy. These are great for the health conscious guy. You can help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. These are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber bars, and all of their flavors are great. I personally really like the peanut butter brownie flavor right now. That has 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. You have the mint brownie flavor that has 15 grams of protein, 110 calories, 104 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Other great flavors include the cookie dough, which they just brought back, They have banana nut bread. They have a cherry chocolate one that I know Evan loves. There's a whole bunch of other ones, and you really can't go wrong at Built Bar. You can even get packs that mix and match them. That's what I do when I reorder, and I want to make sure I cover my bases with my Built Bar. So right now, go to BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We're going to come back right after this, and we're going to talk about the end of Return to the King, the end of our book club here on Locked On Cavs right after this. All right, Evan, we're back. We're just going to lump together the end of Return of the King here. We're going to talk about every final kind of bit here, just because we kind of shaved one chapter off on another one. We're ending this week talking about the just basically the end of the 2016 finals and with a little epilogue to it.
The greatest moment of my life. Okay, go ahead.
No, I that's as good a place to start as anywhere. I just want to
say... I thought you were going
to
say the same. I'm like, Chris, I hope your wife isn't in the room right now.
No, she's not. She's currently not here. What pops to you from this chapter? There's a lot that I'd forgotten. I think I forgot about the David Griffin email. I would pay $50 to know how Ted Carper, Cavs head of PR... would have reacted to that if he was like, David, are you sure you want to send an email that someone's probably going to send to Joe Vardon? You know, that's weird. Anyway, I think Griff is just great, man. Like
I do too.
That guy is just kind of really like, I know he's described as not an optimist here and that Dan loves hiring optimists, all that stuff. Griff, like, just kind of knows the right way to push buttons and kind of help organize people and kind of make people feel like they matter. That's dope. That's a real skill.
Yeah. Kobe Altman is a protege of David Griffin, but the one thing, and I'm not knocking Kobe. This isn't a Kobe slander segment. We're big fans of Kobe Altman on Locked On Cavaliers. He didn't learn Dick Griff's people skills because Griff was just... he was a personality and he was a face of this championship team. And, he was the architect of this championship team as well. And like, I think he really noticed how special he was to this organization after the fact he was gone. And now he's running the show in New Orleans. And I was at the arena for when the Pelicans were in town and Griff was walking around like the big man on campus. He was high-fiving and dapping up with all the security people. He was saying hi to all the Cavs media folks. He walked right into the Cavs locker room and apparently was just chummying up with Kevin and Tristan and Deli and, you know, the last three remaining members of the championship squad on this roster. And, yeah, no, Griff is just larger than life. I think, you know, the cancer scare of his definitely put things in perspective for him. And, just a lot of the health problems and concerns and the fact that he never really got his chance, but when he finally did with Cleveland, he made the most of the opportunity. And when I read that email and when I listened to the audiobook version of this, when I heard the sweet, seductive tones of Brian Windhorst read it to me into my ears, I was pumped up. And if I worked for the Cavs, I would have run through a brick wall for Griff before then. But that email is just... it's every cliche in like a sports movie to pump your athletes up, but it was a good stuff. And yeah, no, I feel like Cavs PR would have been like, "You really sure you want to send this?" But I feel like Griff also just didn't ask and just sent it without telling anybody.
Well, we know from talking to David Zavok, and I know this from just kind of interacting. He was just like, "If you want to talk to me," he's like old school in that way, where he doesn't like need it to be like some setup thing. He's just like, "Do you want to talk? That's fine." Like,
yeah, he won't big time you.
Yeah, salute to Dave. Both Daves, but. You know, Evan, I think about these chapters, and I just think about, like, so much of this is just, like, the Ayesha Curry stuff is, like, very funny in retrospect. I had forgotten entirely about the whole, like, her getting mad about the traffic. Like Dan Gilbert was, like, the like Lex Luthor up in the top just, like, orchestrating traffic and just fucking with their, like, that's just bizarre. The rig tweet is hilarious.
We gotta talk about the Draymond. Sorry.
Yeah, we gotta talk about the Draymond stuff, though. Because it's one of the craziest, it's an all-time changing sports play in terms of a trajectory of a finals. I was in Norway when it happened. I remember just waking up and my Twitter feed was just like a bunch of dick jokes and like videos of that clip. And
did you not watch the game live? Chris, why were you in Norway during the 2016 finals?
Okay, here, just going to lay this out. So I graduated college about a month before. My dad had been planning.
Did you graduate from the Scripps School of Journalism? I feel like every OU alumnus puts out their
Twitter. I don't go out of my way to be a jerk about that. I have my misgivings about Scripps. Okay, we'll talk about this later. Probably not. But when we get into like August and we're just like, well, the Cavs are picking eighth and they're screwed.
Locked on Derailing Chris Manning, featuring your host Evan Damron.
Yes,
go ahead.
My dad had planned this trip for like after I graduated work because my bunch of Norwegian family. He has cousins he's really close with. He hadn't been since 1985, for a variety of reasons. And we went, and it was just kind of planned. And like I kind of tried not to have him go during the finals, but and like see if we could go in like July, but we went during the finals. And I would watch games like when I woke up, basically, or like sometimes I'd catch a little bit of them live, but the time difference was just so crazy.
Is basketball even big in Norway? No.
They knew who LeBron was. They understood that, but like Kyrie and like stuff was like was not complete to them. They're big soccer. And like I remember, like I have a cousin around my age, a little younger than me. We were at like a lake house and this little village called Flekkefjord the one weekend, and really beautiful, right on a fjord. Fjords are great. We were watching Euros, like the European soccer tournament, and I was just like talking about how it's like such a big sports thing, and he did not like the magnitude of the NBA finals. Just like didn't totally click on him, but that's why I was in Norway for family trip.
What was the name of that town again?
Flekkefjord.
He said Flekkefjord. I'm like, that's excuse you, but
one of the drunkest I've ever been in my life. That's another story for at Lockdown Cavs After Dark. yeah,
but I was in Cleveland, so this is still a locally sourced, locally grown Cavaliers podcast.
I'm drinking a Cleveland beer that can poorly sponsor us at any time.
I'm drinking a Finnish beer right now.
Oh,
so
yeah, you're
like
getting mad
kinda
at me about Scandinavian. You're like, I'm drinking a Finnish beer. You're not even drinking nice Scandinavians. Like, the Norwegians are clearly the best Scandinavians.
Chris.
we're off the rails. Let's go back to the book.
Yeah. Draymond's nut kick, he kicked him. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah. It was a total kick, and it also doesn't help the fact that he had a pre-recorded history of kicking players in the groin. I mean, Steven Adams got kicked in the Kiwis, pun intended, and didn't absolutely flinch at all. That is a man's man, that Steven Adams. He looks like a vaudeville villain still, but respect, credit where credit's due. If I was kicked like that, I would have keeled over. Steven Adams just flinched and kept going, but I do think LeBron baited him into it, and you did learn that that was Cleveland's strategy, was to try and bait Draymond into doing something stupid because they knew he was towing the line. And guess what? Draymond took the bait, and it kind of swung the momentum back in Cleveland's favor. And after that game, I started thinking that, okay, maybe the Cavs have a chance. When they went back into Oakland and won, and I'm like, okay, yeah, there might be a chance here. And then yeah, obviously Game 6 and Game 7 happened, but I thought the Cavs were dead in the water by the time they went down 3-1, that's for sure.
Yeah, I did too. I remember just thinking I wasn't going to get to watch like any games like live, basically, because when they were down, and just wondering like if that window was shut, you know? Like I really wondered at that point, like, was the championship window shut because the Warriors were really, really good.
Yeah, and it's so disheartening to think that the Cavs were at full strength, arguably. I mean, Kyrie was banged up, and there's a lot of just, you know, ticky-tacky little things going on. Like, LeBron was absolutely gassed by the end of that series, and Dele was pretty much unplayable in the NBA Finals at that point. So, like, the Cavs were obviously not 100%, but they were a lot better off than they were the year before. And if they weren't able to beat Golden State even at that peak, I'm like, there's no chance they're ever going to win in this rivalry. But they proved me wrong. But I will tell you for a fact, when I went down 3-1, I'm like, all right, well, it was fun while it lasted. Time to get my heart broken again and get ready for next year.
One other thing as we wrap up this last segment of this segment here. Thinking about the Warriors going through all the injuries, and like Boga gets hurt, Curry's obviously not 100% healthy, like Draymond not being able to play in a key game. I wonder if the Cavs, and I think the answer is clearly yes, the Cavs were just clearly a team this particular year where like they just were so used to being going through adversity all the time. Like,
oh yeah,
truly, there's just like the year since the moment LeBron came back, really. I mean, like,
there was never a dull moment in Cavaliers history, especially when LeBron is in town. And like, I mean that in all the frustrating ways and all the good ways as well, because they were battle tested and ready for this. And I think Golden State had an Icarus issue where they flew way too close to the sun. They had 73 wins. They were showboating and having fun, and then they ran into this team that just like was not ready for their bullshit, or was not ready to put up with their bullshit, and kind of punched them in the mouth. And after a while, Golden State just was shell shocked. And I mean, Steve Kerr's basketball socialism doesn't help, but that's we'll discuss that in the next segment, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then I mean, like you look at just thinking about like the Cavs the year before, like the first title favorite team beginning of the year to finish under 500, to be under 500 after like 39 games or whatever. Like they're just every little thing with them is just dramatic. And I wonder if that ultimately, I think the answer is yes, based on the evidence. But if you ask Griff, if you ask Braun, if you ask Kev, Kyrie, whomever, like I wonder, all the key guys from that team, I wonder if they tell you the adversity that we went through before that led us to that moment and let us get through that final kind of insurmountable crucible. But Evan, another crucible is not having the right auto part or not having the right money, amount of money to pay for the auto part that your car needs. But there's a solution for that, and why don't you tell us about it?
Well, I mean, if you ever have any adversity like the Cavaliers went through, you can drive through it if you have your auto parts supplied by rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. That's 7 years younger than me. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so we know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
All right, we're going to take one last break here. Come back, talk about the whole bit of things going on in the last half of this book, and we'll start with the basketball socialism that Evan was alluding to right after this. Okay, Evan, let's talk about Steve Kerr and that. Get into it.
I think Steve Kerr's hubris played a part in... I keep using the word hubris like I'm some audit or some scribe of words here. I'm really not. Shout out to Grammarly for helping me out, carrying me these years through my writing.
Also, would take them as a sponsor.
Love you, Grammarly, so much. But not as much as I love rockauto.com. But... Yeah, no, Steve Kerr's hubris and the fact that he believes that the system trumps all, you know, that's a very Phil Jacksonian mentality for sure. Granted, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Shaquille O'Neal certainly help your system, but watching The Last Dance, I did feel flashes of how Steve Kerr's philosophy worked while watching Phil Jackson kind of explaining his methodology of the triangle and the fact that, like, you play within the system and certain players get certain looks, and Michael Jordan was rubbed the wrong way by that, but Steve was able to get the Warriors to buy into that, and... him leaning on Anderson Varejão in key moments of the 2016 NBA Finals, one, you know, caused a divide amongst Cavs fans, especially, you know, between the number one Cavaliers podcast and the number two Cavaliers podcast and whether or not his jersey should be retired. Because Varejão pulled a lot of the shenanigans he did in Cleveland, which, you know, didn't endear him to fans. But also Varejão was a clutch player in the fact that he's completely cooked on the defensive side of the ball. So the Cavs kind of exploited that matchup, and Steve Kerr relied on him and Festus Ezeli, and, you know, even Andrew Bogut, even before Bogut was hurt. And, I mean, losing Bogut was a huge blow for the Warriors defensively, at least mentally. But, no, Steve Kerr kind of leaning on these role players more than he did his stars, and then Ty leaning on his stars, especially LeBron so heavily, is a huge contrast on why. I feel like, yeah, Steve Kerr is a successful coach, but maybe he's propped up by the fact that he has such uber-talented rosters, and then you have a guy like Ty Lue who's able to kind of make everything work, and then he's able to push the right buttons to get the most out of his star players, which I don't think Steve Kerr ever truly could with Kevin Durant. I mean, that's my two cents here, because when Kevin Durant took over and just ignored Steve Kerr's calls, that's when you saw him at his best in Golden State, so, yeah.
No, I mean, I think that's right. I think if you look at just kind of the some of the situations you have with, like, Curry and even Curry, and him, like, downplaying Curry needlessly, like, it's just, like, one of those things where you don't get it. I think it just, you know, people tweet about this a lot during this COVID situation when the game is replayed, and it's clear how much this Cavs title meant. It's clear how much kind of they did, like, it just has aged really, really well. Like, it is just mm-hmm. a really, really good title. The Cavs are just this team in this series, and I think, like, the shot, the block, the stop, like, these big moments all are just kind of insane. And I just, like, it's one of those things where, like, they write about them in the chapter, how insurmountable they are. You know, I will say, like, I think this is in the previous chapter, but, like, the funniest thing to me in all this is, like, that as they get towards the end of the series, Ty Lue's, like, watching, like, Civil War stuff on the History Channel and is, like, motivated by this and is, like, using this as motivation and, like, quotes Mark Twain without knowing it. It's hilarious, but it, like... Like, I'm usually very anti, like, war and sports stuff because, like, they're just not really the same thing. Like, I get the mentality, but it's, like, one is, like, deadly and one is not. Most, yeah, like, okay.
Would you rather have that or do you have, like, Mike Singletary dropping his pants and showing his players what they're lacking? I mean, choose your battles here, Chris.
Yeah, okay. But, like, it's just so funny, and it's, like, the Cavs just do this insurmountable stuff and, like, win, and... bond together as a group in a way that, like, they sort of needed to, and it all coalesces, and it's just funny how, like, every guy, I think these, like, moments for all three guys are really symbolic to them. Kevin's is, like, the thing you wouldn't expect him to do in the moment you would expect him to most be cooked against the Warriors. Like, he comes up the absolute biggest at that time. Steph can say all he wants about how he should have done it differently. Kevin fucking stopped him. Kyrie Irving, yeah. It did what he does, went one-on-one, and went against the best guy at the time at that position, maybe even the best now. Curry's really good, okay? And scores on him and wins the series. He did that. He did the thing Kyrie was probably always designed to do at his absolute best. And LeBron James makes a play that no other player in the world can make to save a bucket. No one else in the world, I think, except maybe, like, Giannis now. That's, like, the only guy that comes to mind when I think about
making Giannis turns into a pumpkin in the playoffs. LeBron doesn't. Anyways, keep going.
LeBron's mental and, like, ability to track that is at a whole other level. So he probably is, like, the guy that like, you would bet on making that play. At the very, if that's, like, the, mm-hmm. the very, very mm-hmm. least. They okay, all come up fair. In this big moment, and it just coalesces in this perfect way. It's just amazing. It has just aged perfectly. It still is a really, really fun watch. Just throw up on YouTube when you need just, like, a mental cleanse and again, Cavs title, pretty great.
Oh, yeah, no, it's... I'm biased. I think it's the greatest NBA Finals ever. I mean, the impossible happened. The greatest regular season team of all time. That'll be what that Golden State Warriors team is known as. They didn't... 73 wins ain't a thing if you don't win that ring, and the Warriors definitely didn't win that ring because, again... Let me ask you this. Were you still in Norway for Game 7, or were you back in the States?
I was back watching in the living room at my parents' house with my dad.
Okay, so you're watching at your mom and dad's. I do know Justin Rowan and Carter Rodriguez told me that the three of you hopped on and were all drunk trying to record a podcast for your reactions after the fact.
I was not under any influence. I was just like, I did not know what to do with myself because I was really tired.
You're high on the euphoria.
And I was exhausted. I was tired. I got home like the day before.
Yeah.
And well, like that time of the year is like also like it's father. That was Father's Day. Mm-hmm. My now wife's birthday was like a couple days before, so I had to like make up for missing her birthday because I was in Norway, and then it was my birthday.
Well, clearly it all worked out because you guys got married afterwards.
That's true.
There you go. But I was at PJ McIntyre's in Cam's Corners, and I have footage that I will never show anyone, but a friend was filming my reaction during the game. And I may or may not have been under the influence at the time. I didn't drive. My brother was my DD that night. Shout out to Ryan. If you're listening, I doubt you are. But, fun fact, that was 4 years ago, so I was 23. He was 15 at the time, and I snuck him into a bar that was IDing everybody, but they thought he was of age when he walked in with me, so whatever. That was such an emotional roller coaster, that entire Game 7. And in the closing moments, one, I thought LeBron broke his wrist when he missed that dunk. So yes. I like was beside myself. Like I'm like, all right, well, the Cavs are going to lose because the worst possible thing happened to their best player. Like it's over. It's sealed. Like the Cavs are cursed. Like they're going to lose this game. And I remember I just when the final buzzer rang, I collapsed to the ground and started crying, and then my brother, like, jumped in my arms and hugged me, then a bunch of random strangers started walking up and hugging me, and, like, it was just the coolest moment. And then, like you, I had no idea how to react. I was just sitting in disbelief, like, the entire car ride back, because my brother, I was still living at my college house at the time, so my brother, because I just graduated, like, about a month or two before this, and he's driving me back, and I'm just, like, sitting in disbelief in absolute silence, and, like, everybody's laying on their horns downtown, like, we're, like, trying to leave town and everything, and it's just, like, an absolute just pandemonium, but, like, everyone was happy, and, it's just a special moment. Like, I think that Spurs Heat finals when Ray Allen hit that big shot after Bosch tipped out LeBron's miss, like, that's a really fun basketball series just to watch as, like, a fan of the sport, but nothing can ever recapture or beat the magic of this 2016 team. And like you said, like, you can pull up YouTube clips of it all the time. Like, I'll go back and watch it every now and then, like, the closing, like, 2-3 minutes of the NBA finals, and I'm like, I get overcome with emotions again. I'm just like, this is, again, until I get married and I have kids, this will remain the best moment of my life, and it still will be up there when those moments do happen.
Yes. All right, Evan, let's wrap it up on this. Here's I'm gonna ask you a question, and I just want a yes I want a yes or a no. Is, and I think the answer is pretty obvious for me, 2016 title, Game 7 that night, then winning the title, the parade, if you want to include that in this. That is the apex of the Cavs, and I think forever will be the highest point of the Cavs franchise. Yes or no?
100% yes.
Yeah, I don't think it can be beaten. I really, really don't.
I mean, maybe LeBron comes back, and at that point it's a retirement tour, and, like, that's just, like, the good vibes tour, but...
But he has to win a title again to beat this, and it would have to be, like, another, like, crazy, like, an even crazier, like, thing. Like, maybe a 2018 title that was, like, him alone, it, like, kind of gets close to this, but this was, like, broke the title curse, 3-1, all that stuff.
No, they won it in the most Cleveland way possible, where it felt like everything was going against them. And so, just for one night, and for a while, let's be honest here, the Cavs were the top of the world, and then... all my 3-1 hubris, again, there it is, that word again, came back to bite me when the Indians blew a 3-1 lead to the Cubs in the World Series. But I don't know. If the Browns ever won a Super Bowl, Cleveland would burn to the ground overnight, but the Cavs did it first, at least in my lifetime, and they might be the only team who ever does it in my lifetime in Cleveland, and I'm sure glad they won it the way they did.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Well, that wraps up our first book club. Burke Club. Thanks everyone for joining us on this ride and reading along with us. I'm you know, it's a crazy time out there. We sort of, you know, Evan and I are months now into quarantine NBA podcasting. We thank so much of you, so many of you that are stayed listening to us, we've stayed pretty consistent, all things considered, which is really, really great. So I want to thank everyone out there that has listened and kind of make sure Evan and I are just using this as, like, weird Zoom therapy to talk to each other.
I like it. It's fun. I look forward to our recording sessions.
I do too. I just gotta say, like, it's much better doing a podcast with someone than trying to do it on your own.
Oh no, I
don't know what I was thinking, to be honest.
Remember our short? Well, this is before the season shut down, but we started doing weekend recaps.
Yeah.
I think I did one after I covered a game in Cleveland, and I recorded it in my car in the parking garage I was in, and I texted you, like, immediately after I emailed you the audio to put it up, and I'm like, I do not know how you did this for however many episodes you did.
It was psychotic, and I apologize to the people that have been listening the whole time, because it was stupid. It was really stupid. Anyway,
yeah.
Thanks again to everyone that has listened.
Yeah,
thanks
again. Really,
thank you. Great sponsors, Built Bar, Rock Auto, Blinkist. Go check them out. You can find. I'll put all the codes and stuff in the show notes below that you can go check them out and support our sponsors for supporting us right now amid COVID. Again, we'll be back on Monday. Don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we'll surely come up with something. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. For myself, for Evan, this is the end of the Return of the King Book Club. And we're going to dive deeper into the off-season stuff here and more stuff coming soon. Again, get vintage. Wait, Cavs. Sorry, go ahead.
Where's everyone's book report? I've been eagerly checking my email after every episode we put up on Friday, and no one sent me a GD book report. I just want to know people care. That's all.
Yeah. Same. Let us know you listened. That would be nice. Yeah.
Everyone,
Tweet DM Evan. Me. I'm not on Twitter right now, so tweet Evan.
Yeah, so tweet me, and then I'll text it to Chris, because in his bio it says don't DM him, but I still DM him every now and then with that screenshot of that. So texting him the same thing is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, pick up Vintage Cavs. My copy showed up today, and I'm really excited to start flipping through it and highlighting sections that I'm ready to talk about.
Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks again, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Stay warm, or if it's cold where you are, but stay hydrated. Get some local beer. You know, if you're into that. If you're sober, just get a nice glass of water. But have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.